Good afternoon. I'm Marcus Peter. The Feast of Pentecost is one of the most noteworthy celebrations of the Church, celebrated 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, 9 days, well, officially just about 10, after we celebrate the Ascension of the Lord. And it has Old Testament roots that many Christians are not aware of, largely due to the fact that the word doesn't really appear in the Old Testament English translations. It appears in the Greek translations in the Septuagint. And there were three great Jewish festivals to which every male Jew living within 20 miles of Jerusalem, the equivalent of about 20 miles, were legally bound to come to Jerusalem to celebrate. And these were the Passover, the Feast of Pentecost, which we will talk about a little more, and the Feast of Tabernacles. Pentecost, from the Greek Pentecosta, literally means the 50th. And another name for Pentecost was the Feast of Weeks, because it was celebrated 49 days plus one after the Passover. Now, it fell on the 50th day after the Passover, as I just mentioned, because it's the seven of sevens, 7 weeks of 7 days. So literally in Hebrew, the Shavah of the Shavah, and that word for seven, Shavah, is also the word, or it sounds like the word in Hebrew for blessing, to hallow something. So when we see the number seven throughout Scripture, we often think of it as the number of perfection, but that's an understatement. The Hebrew context for seven really has to do with the elevation of something from the mundane to the mystical, from the transient to the transfigured. In other words, from the natural to the supernatural. So the Passover fell in sometime in the middle of April for us, and Pentecost typically fell at the beginning of June. But traveling conditions, depending at that time, were ideal for those who lived within 20 miles of Jerusalem. So many people came to the Feast of Pentecost, even if they were beyond the 20-mile radius, because the weather permitted it, because travel permitted it at that time. This is why during the Feast of Pentecost, especially at this New Testament Pentecost, you're going to see that there are numerous nationalities being represented in Jerusalem. In fact, the Scriptures essentially tell us that never was there more an international time of a gathering of a crowd in Jerusalem than during the Feast of Pentecost. And the feast itself had multiple significances. Historically, Pentecost commemorates the giving of the law to Moses on Mount Sinai. And anyone who knows that event, taken from the book of Exodus, knows that this was a time when the fiery presence of God came down from heaven and touched down upon Mount Sinai. And this is crucial, because what does he do? He comes down from heaven in this fiery theophany, and he reveals himself in, we call them the Ten Commandments, but the Greek Septuagint utilizes a different term. It's called the Decalogos, the 10 words, the Decalogoi, the 10 words of God. Secondly, there was an agricultural significance. At Pentecost, they were celebrating the joy and the blessing of a bountiful harvest. And the law made it such that they had to offer, at Pentecost, the first fruits. So it was a holiday for all, and the crowds in Jerusalem would gather together for this twofold celebration, commemorating not just the covenant, but the blessings of God in providence. What happened at the New Testament Pentecost, however, was particularly unique. What we know with certitude is when we read the book of Acts, the apostles encountered the power of the Holy Spirit flooding their beings in such a phenomenal way that it brought about a complete transformation of their characters. In fact, while Luke, the author of Acts, was not himself an eyewitness to this event, at least we don't see his name mentioned, we do know that he had access to the apostles, and therefore he documents the events as if he were there. In fact, there might be a likelihood that he was. But the reason why this is crucial is because he documents this miraculous event where, by the power of the Holy Spirit, the apostles were emboldened to go forth and proclaim the gospel, and that first manifestation of the gift of tongues, which in the New Testament, in that particular instance, was of the apostles speaking languages that they had hitherto no access to learning or no proper learning of. And we'll explore that in a little bit. In order for us to understand what God does in the Feast of Pentecost, we need to go all the way back to Genesis chapter 11, verse 4. We see this event of the building of the Tower of Babel. And particularly in 11, verse 4, the people in Babel say these words, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the sky, and so make a Shem, a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we shall be scattered all over the earth." Now, anyone who knows the language of Scripture knows that to make a name for yourself means to reject the name of the one whom you worship. Regardless of whatever genealogy these people come from, they were effectively saying, we want to reject the Shem, the name of Yahweh. We want to reject the Shem, the name of the God who gives himself to us in covenant. We want to make a Shem, a name for ourselves. And so that's why God intervenes. On this great height of a building, these people seek to make themselves gods. And so God scatters their language. It becomes a point of division. At the Feast of the New Testament, Pentecost, God reverses what happened at Babel. Because in Acts chapter 2, verse 11, we see that people say, we hear them speaking in our own tongues of the mighty acts of God. How is it that all of us of different nationalities hear them speaking in our own tongues? Where the name of man brought about the great division of language and culture, the name of God, particularly in the New Testament, the name of Jesus Christ, brought about this great spiritual reunification, so that the confusion of language that happened in Genesis 11 is now remedied by the power of the Holy Spirit, and by the same power of language and the Shem, the name of Jesus, man is brought together into covenant in God. We see that as a result, 3,000 people were added to their number that day. And from that day on, daily God was adding more to their numbers, as Acts chapter 2 closes with that. St. Cyril of Jerusalem reminds us that the apostles were invested soul and body, not just with gifts, but with a divine garment of salvation. They partook of a fire that did not burn, but saved. A fire which consumes the thorns of sin and gives luster to their souls. And so people who beheld the apostles encountering this fire of the Holy Spirit could not help but be transfixed. Something was different about these people compared to everyone else in Jerusalem. To that end, Paul reminds us in Galatians chapter 5, verse 24, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified their flesh with its passions and desires. When the Holy Spirit comes into our life by baptism and with this confirmation in the sacrament of confirmation, the strengthening and this continued prayer of our lives in him, that we may seek the indwelling of his presence in grace, what grace does is it transforms us so much that the passions of our flesh, that these lower things that bind us to sin and slavery are broken away. And the luster of our souls shine forth with not only the love of God, but with the very life of God, which is what the New Testament demonstrates to us grace is. That's why in Veni Sancte Spiritu, when we listen to the sequence in the Pentecost Mass, the Church sings out, give them virtue, sure reward. Give them your salvation, Lord. The Catechism affirms this by saying that on Pentecost, the Holy Trinity is fully revealed. On that day, the kingdom announced by Christ has been opened to those who believe in him. In the humility of flesh and in faith, those who believe already share in the communion of the Holy Trinity. And this is what the Holy Spirit wants to achieve in all of us. He wants to take us as we are, but he loves us far too much to let us stay that way. He wants to break the chains that bind us. He wants to destroy the darkness that consumes any area of our life, so that when Christ continues to breathe upon us, saying, receive the Holy Spirit, as he said to his apostles in John 20:22, he wants complete renewal of life to happen. The kingdom of God is made manifest within us because we allow the King to dwell within us. And he does so by the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit. He does so by this great gift of grace, which is God pouring his very life into us, not just so that we can be changed and transformed, but so that we can be elevated to partake of his own divine Trinitarian intimacy in life. St. Thomas Aquinas describes this as the indwelling of grace, a certain renewal of life by grace, the outpouring of God's life. Christ affirms that when he comes, the Spirit of truth will guide us into all truth. Because what the Holy Spirit does is he converts us. He breaks any lie within us and conforms us to the truth of his divine revelation, so that the gospel message, the teachings of the Catholic Church, will not remain things that we are forced to learn, but a way of life that we have chosen to believe out of a fiery love of a heart set aflame by the very presence of the Holy Spirit. Pentecost in the New Testament is not only an extension, but a divine elevation of the Sinai event. And if God gave the commandments to Moses on tablets on Mount Sinai, then by means of the New Testament Pentecost, in our baptism, in our confirmation, God continues to write his law into our very hearts. This is the reality of the new covenant. And this reception of the love of God compels us to charismatic preaching. We want to herald the King's announcement of victory to everyone who is still in the captivity of the enemy. For all of us who are set free by the love of God, if we are set aflame by the love of Christ, we have an obligation to bring others into this freedom. We have no enemy except the evil one, but we have no victorious Lord except our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who gifts us with his very divine presence in the power and indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Let's celebrate fruitful feasts of Pentecost. I'm Marcus Peter.